This is Tom Luongo.
This is Alex Craner.
This is Franco Terrazano.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough.
This is Joshua Allen, the Cowboy Preacher, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. How's everybody doing today? Tuesday. It's Tuesday. And no mashup. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know a few of you are going, what? No mashup? Ah. Fridays. We've moved it to Fridays. Started last week, and this is the first Tuesday without a mashup in 100 plus weeks. Think about that. Poofta. So it is moving to Fridays, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. We're live streaming on Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and then it will follow. It will air on Spotify, Apple, all the podcast apps shortly after. You know, I'm going to assume just before lunch it'll be uploaded, and that way your Fridays will become mashups. Moving forward, which means Tuesdays are all open to a whole cast of characters that haven't been here for quite some time. And before we get there, how about we talk about government deficits running out of control? Yeah, and now might be the perfect time to diversify some of your hard-earned savings into physical money that can't be printed. I'm talking gold and silver. Of course, Silver Gold Bull. They offer a full suite of services that help you buy, sell, and store precious metals. They ship right to your doorstep, discreetly, fully insured, and with tracking straight to you. And if you've never done that, it's pretty cool. All you got to do is go to silvergoldbull.ca. You can find out exactly what they're cooking with. You can text or email them. Text or email. Tuesday's having its way with me. You can text or email Graham for details. That's down in the show notes. You can also email him if you're not a silver or gold person, if you don't have the money, if you don't have any of that, that's totally fine. What I would appreciate is if you would text Graham and say, hey, thanks for Silver Gold Bull, that is, supporting independent media. That's been really cool to have them on board, and we just got to let them know, hey, like, we see you. And for a company to stand up, there's a whole bunch of them across Canada and the United States doing it. And Silver Gold Bull is an Alberta-based company, you know, started here in our great province that stepped up to the plate. So I got all the time in the world for silvergoldbull.ca. If you have not paid attention to what they're doing, just silvergoldbull.ca, and you'll get to know what they're, you know, all the sales and all that good stuff. McGowan Professional Chartered Accountants, Kristen and team. Well, I put them through the ringer in the last little bit. You can just imagine having to deal with me. It's kind of like me having to deal with twos on a daily basis. So that's kind of what my accountant has to do. They've been fantastic. They offer full accounting and bookkeeping, business consulting and training, financial planning and tax planning. And they are looking to hire. They're looking to hire a CPA. They would love to grab someone local if that's not possible. Maybe you want to move to the bustling metropolis of Lloydminster to a company that believes in this show, supporting free speech and starting conversations. If that aligns with you, maybe this is the right spot. Visit McGowanCPA.ca. S&P Cornerstone Forum is right around the corner, April 27th. We've had a little change in speakers. Mikhail Thorpe had his third child due to birthing tourism in a different country. And due to that, he had to back out of coming to Lloydminster. So we've added in Mr. Bradley, who came in, Dave Bradley, that is, who came in talking last week, Bitcoin guy here in Alberta. He's going to be coming in, stepping into place. So now we got a full lineup. That the afternoon is going to be interesting. The morning, more of a prepping, what's going on in the world, what can you do in your life, into the afternoon, inflation, gold, Bitcoin, financial pressures, and see what comes out of there. So the whole cast of characters, we got about 17 tickets left. If you haven't bought yours yet, what are you waiting for? Down in the show notes, go click. Would love to see you guys all there. Okay, let's get on to our tale of the tape. Wife, mom, concerned citizen. She is the spokesperson for Lloydminster's location of the protest against carbon tax. I'm talking about Miranda Courts. So buckle up. Here we go. Okay, welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today I'm joined by Miranda Courts. We're sitting on the east side of Lloydminster. You know, I was telling you that I'm like, well, A, thanks for letting me throw you on here. I'm sure you're thankful to have somebody come down and talk to you. But when I drove by on Saturday, I told Viva, I had Viva Fry on this morning, and I was like, I don't know. I just a little disheartened that there wasn't 10,000 people here or something. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I expected. But on Monday, I was like, you know, pretty disheartened. I know a lot of people were. And then you guys held the line, stayed here. And on Saturday, when my wife called and said, what's going on down at the protest? Like, they got it blocked off. They're diverting traffic. I'm like, I don't know. And I drove by, and I don't know. You probably had the count. How many cops were down here on Saturday?
30.
For
14 cars in front of us, however many up on the blockade, and then 30 cops. Yeah.
Like,
I know, right?
And I was just telling you before we started, you know, when I was watching the videos of Calgary, or Cochrane, I should say, you know, I'm watching, you know, like, I'm like, what is going on? You know, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm missing out in Calgary. I'm not there. But when you can just hop in your vehicle and like drive down and see what's going on, I'm like, this is wild. And it got people texting me that, you know, aren't protesters, I would say, but are you know, are driving in and I'm watching. It's not like all of a sudden the highway's shut down by you guys. It's been a pretty peaceful protest, I would say. You could probably explain a little better than me and to the listener. But I mean, pretty wild to take a 2-minute drive and be able to see that many cops sitting on the side of the highway. And we're like, well, what are they doing? Like, and the thing is, you know, you've been to, well, the For Kids' Sake helped with the last protest in Lloyd, and you've been to some of our meetings. Like, to know, like, it's grandparents and kids and like, I'm like, this is pretty wild.
Yeah, I never in my wildest dreams did I see that coming at all. Definitely did not see that coming on Saturday, especially for having done nothing.
When you were telling me about the cops, like, I think of it, I'm like, oh, they must have brought in a whole bunch from Saskatoon. Tell me about the cops and where they're all from.
So my understanding is that I know of at least a few of them that are from the East, Ontario, Quebec, for sure, that were there that day.
And walk us through Saturday, because you're the lady sitting here. I watched your live stream. Like, you know, like, tell the listener, you know, from your eyes, what was going on. Like, were you guys moving pylons and trying to get on the highway to block it off or something? Or
absolutely not. We were nowhere near the highway. We were nowhere near the shoulder. We were in the grass area of the ditch, and we had just, I wouldn't even say everybody was even there. We had just started kind of crossing from, there's a hill that we've been on. That is private property that we're allowed to be on because, of course, they can't stop us there. And we had decided to get closer, a little closer in, because there is some billboards and stuff that kind of block us a little bit. And being that it's public property, and being that, you know, the under the protesting act and stuff like that, we have the right actually to protest on a road. And they don't seem to understand that, or they're reading it differently. So we didn't approach the road, though. We crossed over just past, there's a creek, and we just passed the creek. And I would say probably maybe 30 protesters had just crossed the creek and were in the grass. And within 30 seconds, there was approximately 16 cop cars and 30 police officers on us immediately.
And what did they say?
They just kept telling us to get back. And of course, being the organizer, I started trying to talk to them and say, like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And they said, you're not allowed to be here. This isn't the safe zone. You have to talk to the liaison officers. That's the other thing this has all been really crazy about, is I can't talk to anybody actually in charge. I keep getting from these liaison officers that come in, and they come and talk to me a couple times a day. And I'm told, you know, well, we'll take it back to our superiors. We'll take it back to our superiors. And I keep asking over and over again, I want to have a face-to-face meeting with your superiors. Because every time I ask these guys questions, it's, we don't know. We're just doing what we're told. We don't know. We're just doing what we're told. And so I'm getting lots of non-communication, really. And there's some very big question over what they're allowed to actually police when it comes to the ditches of the highways. And there's obviously a huge amount of question over what the acts out there say for protesting on the side of a highway. And they're, in my opinion, they're proving more and more that it's all about them just having the power to tell us what we can and cannot do, because they can't stop us from protesting. So we're going to just pull all of our power to stop you in any other way we can.
Well, I told you that you know, it's cool. You said, oh, maybe we should go outside. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like the honking going on in the background. Honk, honk. you know, when I basically, I'd lost a little bit of hope in the overall protest. I'd interviewed Mr. Fields on it, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I think, you know, like when I look at it, this affects everyone. This isn't any one person gets away from this.
Oh, except politicians, because we pay their carbon tax share too.
Right. Somehow that doesn't surprise me. And you know, and so I was staring at this, and then they come in heavy handed. As soon as they come in heavy handed, they got everybody talking about it again.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually, you know, if they were slowly, I had joked, and you probably wouldn't like this joke, but I joked, and I don't know if I joked it with anyone, but I was like, you know, if the cops just left one day, would anything have changed? Probably not. You know, like. It isn't like 10,000 people are there cutting off the highway. I mean, if that happens, okay. But that hadn't been happening. As soon as they showed up with 30 cops, everybody's talking about it again. It was all the talk today, everywhere I went. And I'm like, I wonder what that did. They just backfired on them by coming in heavy-handed into Lloyd. And in my mind, if they just left it alone, it probably would have dissolved on its own. And you probably don't like hearing that. That's probably not. I know the mantra is, we're staying here until the carbon tax is gone. But I think what you've shown me once again is just what the cops are, and I don't know, is it cops? I'm going to maybe go one step higher. What the government's willing to do to quash anything that goes against their narrative.
Well, you said it right, Sean. Actually, it is the government. And I can tell you that at one point we had some MLAs that were willing to help us in filing a freedom of information on finding out where these cops are all from, both here, because we also had some issues this last week with police presence in Fleming Kirkella location, which is the Saskatchewan Manitoba border on Highway 1. And they woke up to police having the Highway 1 completely blocked down. They woke up to being knocking on the windows, and they were being threatened to be arrested. They didn't have anybody even out protesting yet. They were just getting out of bed, and they were being heavy-handed with them already. And so we had actually reached out to some MLAs to get some help on filing a freedom of information to find out where these cops are coming from, who's giving the authority for these cops to act, and what is it costing either A, the Saskatchewan taxpayers out here, or Canadian taxpayers as a whole for all of these protests. And that the wheels were in motion to do that. And then we received word back from the MLA that they could no longer help us do that because these orders were all coming out of Ottawa.
We can no longer be a public servant because the laws are coming, the orders are coming from Ottawa. So now our civic duty is over. Great. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Right.
Tell me about the old man north of town. I just heard this story this morning.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that it's had me very angry the last few days, and especially now with what went down here on Saturday. For like I said to the liaisons this morning, you guys showed up to a flag party with guns, a little bit unreasonable here, right? Especially when, you know, the majority are not young people here. Right. That was absolutely uncalled for because, yes, a few days ago, a gentleman, I believe it's south of Maidstone, in this area. Anyways, it was in this area. A wellness check was called for him, and not one officer showed up, and he was found dead. I believe it was 9 hours later.
Yeah. Is it?
I went into a ditch in grass, and you had 30 cops here. I just, there is no amount of any explanation that you can put on this right now for me as the organizer of this that's going to have me able to wrap my head around this.
On Saturday, I'd gotten word that they'd basically told anyone staying was going to be put in prison. Is that true?
No. So the only thing, if that's being said, it certainly hasn't gotten back to me. But I did actually, unfortunately, hear this morning that an off-duty officer from, I'm assuming, the goon squad, an off-duty officer told some farmers this morning or yesterday that they had to block up the road on Saturday because they caught a bunch of our protesters breaking into the Britannica Fire Department. And I mean... Yeah.
Where's the Britannica Fire Department?
It's just right there.
Okay.
It's actually been the police staging area since before we came.
Okay, yes.
They've just got barricades up and they're always sitting there.
So were there guys down there?
No, absolutely not. None of ours, anyways. And they've been sitting there. Police have been sitting there all week. So the road was not closed for that reason. And I don't think a bunch of grandmas and grandpas went and were breaking into the Britannica Fire Hall, no. So, and like, it's been nonstop. Because of what they did, it has caused a lot of Canadians to not have the right to protest anymore because now they're afraid to come, right? The protesters were not allowed to come in and join us and help us. They stopped them from that. Even ones that they allowed across the street were left to sit there and watch as we were faced with all of this and not have any backup for it. And, you know, at one point, even I was threatened. I was threatened that they kept telling us after the hours went on, they kept telling us that their current position of orders was to provide us a safe protest zone. And considering we've been out here 6 days already and we'd never had anything like that, of course, as an organizer, again, my initial question was, did you receive a credible threat against us that we need this protection? I need to know so I can tell my people that they can make a decision to stay or go. I need to know whether or not we were being threatened. And apparently I wasn't allowed to ask that question because all of a sudden an officer came storming right up to my nose and told me that if I spoke to any of the officers there again, I would be arrested for mischief.
But what did you say? I guess you didn't get to ask that question. What was so offensive about what you said?
There, nothing. I mean, you tell me. Was there anything offensive about what I said?
Well, I can't put myself in the situation because I assume at that point it's a little bit heated, but no, I mean,
I just kept that. That's
clarifying.
All, I mean, don't get me wrong. Other protesters were obviously very angry and there was obviously probably a lot of obscenities that may have been getting yelled by protesters. But myself personally, all I wanted to know was, were we in danger? And I did not think for one second that asking whether we were in danger or not would result in a threat of a charge.
Moving forward, it is Monday where we sit. This will air on Tuesday, so happy Tuesday, everyone. What is the plan from this side of things? I know the goal was we're starting on May. I'm thinking about May now. Starting on April 1st, and we're not leaving until they scrap the tax. Has anything changed? Is there any new updates? Is there things you want people to know in this area about supporting this? You know, there's a lot that, I mean, I think people can hear it. There's tons of people honking as this goes on.
This is all day and all night. Like we get at 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you'll still hear honking all night. The support is there. I think that the reality of it is that to get the tax scrapped would need a lot more Canadians that aren't afraid. And Canadians need to know that they don't have to be afraid to come and take a stand and to say no to the carbon tax. It's not something that goes against anything in society other than we're all going broke and we're all, you know, I just heard a statistic the other day on the radio, blew my mind, that they estimate that in the last year in Canada, blue collar workers like us, over 300,000 have become homeless for the first time in their lives. Over 300,000 Canadians, blue collars. And to me, that's I hear stuff like that and it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this forever. But I mean, the reality is obviously I can't be out here 6 months to a year. And the likelihood is that the tax is not probably going to get dropped until he's gone. And hopefully Pierre holds up to his end of the bargain.
I guess when I sit and look and I go in Lloydminster, I you know, the amount of honking going on just shows how much support is in this town to get rid of the tax. I would say, you know, a healthy majority of Lloydminster and area would agree with what you're doing. But it's funny, where does this protest need to be put on to make Justin Trudeau and the Liberals feel the pain? Lloydminster, probably not the place. But what you've done here by having the cops all come down heavy-handed on you, I could be wrong on this. I'd be curious what the listener thinks, especially if you're in the area. But seeing it firsthand, I was like, this is wild. This is Lloydminster. And they rolled in the cops like you guys were, you know, I don't even know, about to
I actually don't know, because I know a whole bunch of the people that are here.
Nothing more than be seen. That's like, all. We were just trying to move closer, because here's the thing. The one thing that we kept getting told by the police was being actually out on the road was impeding traffic. Now, it wasn't, they did not tell us that it was impeding traffic because traffic would slow or come to a stop. The impeding on traffic would come from the distraction of us being on the side of the road. So when they moved us up to, when they moved us up to the hill, I said to them, are we not still a distraction up there to, and in fact, in my opinion, I think a bigger distraction, because we're further away to see. So people look harder and longer to see us. So to me, I found it to be a bigger distraction to be further away. And they said it didn't matter if we were a distraction up on the hill because we weren't on government land.
Has, you know, sitting here and watching the traffic, has there at all been a traffic jam because of this?
Other than the one they created on Saturday.
Other than the one they created.
Not a one. In fact, I've had multiple truckers who, we had one trucker who stopped here about 1:30 in the morning, and he does a regular run through this area every single day, multiple times a day. And when we told him what had happened, because he was sad to see us back off the road, he was looking forward to seeing us, and he knew that something had happened. So he stopped to ask us. So I told him what happened, and he says, are you kidding me? He says, I do this run every day, multiple times a day, even with the one lane half closed. He said, never once that whole 3 days was I ever impeded. My times were still the same. My deliveries were still the same. It impeded on me nothing, and he's hauling. So what does that say, right?
You know, it sounds like a blue-collar answer to me. That's what it sounds like. any other final thoughts before I let you out of here? You've had, what are you on? You're on day eight now.
Day eight.
When you first start on day one, I assume you have some thoughts on how it's going to go on different things. You probably did not predict Saturday. There was a lady arrested, correct?
There was a lady arrested, unfortunately. Yeah, there was a 61-year-old great-grandmother who was arrested because she had enough. She had enough, and she stood up for her rights, and they arrested her. She was taken in to the police station. She was held for roughly about 6 to 7 hours and charged with mischief. This blanket mischief, man. Mischief covers everything that isn't a straight up capital crime, as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, she was charged with mischief. She cannot come back to the protest site, and she can have zero contact with me.
That was the agreement you had to sign.
Yeah.
To get out.
Yeah. So, and as for what I would want to say, number one is, you know, I realize people, absolutely in today's society, I realize people have to work their butts off in order to pay these carbon taxes and be able to afford a loaf of bread. I get that. I truly do. All we're asking is people come out and talk to us. Come and see us in the evening for a half an hour. I know last week was miserably cold. This week's supposed to be much better.
The sun is shining right now. It is beautiful out here.
You know, so come out and talk to us. We're here on the weekend too. You know, come and hang out for a little bit. You know, if for no other reason than to hang your head up high, to hold your head up high and know that at least you tried something. You know, I don't truly expect in the end that little old Lloyd Minister is going to be, you know, Justin Trudeau's knife in the side to say, okay, I'm dropping the carbon tax. But at least I know that I can look at my children and I can look down the road and I can say I did everything I could to try and change things, right? And then the other thing is look me up on Facebook. Right? Look me up on Facebook. Find out what's going on. I'm an open book. I hide nothing. And I generally answer everything. So, you know, look me up on Facebook. Send me a message. Find out what's really going on. Don't believe anything you hear and see out there. Come and talk to the horse herself, because the horse will always talk.
And it's, I should, we'll finish off with, you can have your thought on this, but little old Lloyd Minster has been an interesting little ground for a lot of different things. And it's the small things. You never know what the small things, where they go, you know? In the Bible, they talk about the mustard seed, and I think we know where that parable
Touché.
Goes, right? So
Touché.
To me, I don't look at it like, I was beating myself up this morning because I'm like, I should have been down there. Should have had more, you know, and on that. And then I laughed, but I'm like, at the same token, the cops did us all a favor because they walked in there. They were heavy-handed. We all got to witness it. You can't turn your eye from that.
I mean, for crying out loud, they had what's called C8s. They're an assault type of rifle. and you know, I just, it blows my mind to even say that they had those kind of guns on us. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Again, are you? The crowd is not. We've never shown 1 ounce of anything in 8 days. I mean, I don't think that we're building up and just waiting to do it, right? I could not believe the amount of artillery, the heaviness of the artillery that they had on us, and the absolute atrocity of peaceful protesting, right?
Your birthday yesterday, is that true?
Yes.
It was my son's birthday yesterday.
Oh, yay.
So happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. People were texting me this morning because part of his birthday, I had to run down to the studio to do the intro for this morning's interview and for people listening on Tuesday, yesterday's interview. And so he was a part of that for his birthday. So everybody was getting a kick out of that. And I didn't realize it was your birthday. If there's a business or a person that wants to come, you know, that maybe they want to, like, I'm looking over here at what you guys got, you know, with water and everything else. Is there anything you're short on? Is there anything you're like, you know, you need a couple extra Canadian flags, you know, I don't know. Anything in particular?
Honestly, the only thing that we ask, and this is another thing, like, we're very well fed out here. People have been donating. It has been absolutely amazing. Generally, there's 3 meals a day. There will always be pancake breakfast. So if you're out and about in the mornings, come for pancakes.
What time is pancakes at?
Usually around 9:30, 10 o'clock. They have breakfast out. But come down, because we do. We have the food. We're happy to help. Anybody who's struggling, come and see us. We're happy to help you out there too, and give you a meal or two or three. And you know, we've got tons of space for camping. Bring your campers, bring your tents. Just be a presence. Just be a presence. That is the biggest thing we need out here. Had we had the presence on Saturday, we would have finally been able to maybe push back and stop being run by such a police state. And that's exactly what it was on Saturday. It is, we are the boss, comply and conform, or this is what's going to happen to you. And, you know, that 61-year-old great-grandmother, I got to tell you, first time she's ever been to a protest in her life.
First time she's been to a protest and gets arrested, folks. That's something she'll be able to tell her great-grandkids, you know?
And then what a proud moment, right? What a proud moment for her, because, you know, that's exactly it. It's the stories that'll get passed down. Because these are not stories. These protests are not stories they're going to write in the history books. We have to keep those stories going, right? And we have to keep the knowledge going that this is out here. And the last thing I guess I'll tell everyone is, over the next couple of days, you'll see us in town. We're going to be boots on the ground. We're going to have pamphlets with information and different things that we'll be bringing out to all the, like, Superstore. We'll be at Superstore. We'll be at the mall. We'll be at Walmart. We'll be at all the major centers with the information too. So look for us over the next couple of days too, and just reach out and have a conversation, because right now, with everyone becoming homeless, starving, and having these financial struggles, the only thing we have left is each other. And if we can't come together to support each other and even a conversation, then we're all doomed anyways.
Well, I appreciate you giving me some time today, and we'll probably check back in here at some point. And either way, keep doing what you're doing, because when I heard they had all the cops, I'm like, do they realize they're going up against Miranda? I'm like, this ain't her first rodeo. And
no, it's not actually, right? The convoy was, the convoy gave me a lot of cojones.
Well, and I think even before that, I remember hearing of people arrested in Calgary and in the middle for, like, not wearing masks and not by, and I remember thinking, it's just Calgary. And then of course the pool incident. And you were the lady who got arrested for not wearing a mask, if I'm correct, at the Lloydminster Leisure Centre.
For three, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, that went down. I was beaten by 7 cops, broke my wrist, smashed my forehead, did a whole bunch of damage to me out in the public in a bathing suit because I didn't wear a mask for 3.6 seconds.
Oh, that was a world. That was a world.
Thank God we're past that, eh?
Thanks again, Miranda.
Thanks. You're welcome.